Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
For all NBA Warriors, you are now tuned into Golden Spaces with Nat, Justin, and Karima.
What up? What up? It's Golden Spaces, an Odyssey original podcast. We are here after a blowout Warriors win. It's me and Karima checking in. What's the vibes right now? The Warriors have won, what, 8 out of their last 9 games?
Yeah, that's what, yep, I think so. I think that's right, right, Producer Greg? I'm sure he's going to say, yep. The vibes are high. Look, I'm at a 10. How about that? A 10.
A 10.
Because anytime you stomp out.
No,
okay, Justin, that's not where I was going, but anytime you stomp out, you know, the Fakers, I am, you know, through the roof.
That's true. That is true. The Warriors beat the Lakers 134 to 120. It was getting a little bit tighter than we wanted, but the Warriors ended up pulling it out at the end, pulling away, comfortable lead, benches cleared with about a minute and a half to go. It's not really much that we can't say about this game. Like, we got a little bit of everything. We got some defense. We got a lot of offense. I think they set a record for themselves this particular season, 26 threes, which is just a ridiculous amount of threes. It was in the Lakers home arena, Crypto. So that was actually pretty wild to see. Steph and Klay, 11 for 16 combined from three. Steph somehow had 23 points on only 9 shots.
It's just, and a whole bunch of assists.
Right. They were doubling and all that type of stuff. It's just a good, solid all-around win. Obviously, Anthony Davis did not play today. I think he has some type of injury that he dealt with. He got hit in the face.
Eye injury.
Like that. Yeah, LeBron was questionable, like almost pretty much game-time decision because he was sick, right? He somehow comes in, he's hitting every jumper and running full speed and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A little gamesmanship probably from the Lakers there, but it did not work. The Warriors were still ready for the Lakers. I mean, LeBron still did LeBron things, but everybody else was held relatively in check. Just a great performance.
Yeah. I mean, once we, like, secured the lead, there was no turning back. We tried to, you know, give it up a few times, yet we maintained, we went on our own run again to extend the lead. Even if, you know, like we always say, basketball is a game of runs. The Lakers gave us their shot. We hit back with ours. They tried it again, and we come right back with ours and just, you know, take it from there. So just the fact that we didn't let it get to those areas of, Okay, Kerr, call a timeout. Like, when we're all saying call the timeout, he was up calling that timeout because it was like it got down to 6 or something, and it was like, we got to just rejudge this whole lineup that's out here right now.
Yeah, I was going to get into that. Like, he was definitely timely with the timeouts, but it was like, brother, you are kind of putting the Warriors in a position to have a run placed on them with some of the lineup combinations. Like, this particular matchup, you can't play like the micro ball lineups really much, right? Like Steph plus two other small guards. He went Steph, Pods, and Gary at one point. I think it was Steph, Pods, Gary, JK, and Draymond. And it's like, these are four non-spacers next to Steph. And two of them are tiny. Even though they're, you know, Pod's a great rebounder, Gary's a good rebounder, he's athletic, but like the Lakers have legitimate like size and athleticism advantages across the board against the Warriors. So if you're compromising your offense by putting four non-spacers next to Steph, it's going to lead to turnovers. which they made a few, is going to lead to some missed shots because Steph is going to have to shoot in the crowd. And then once that happens, it's LeBron coming full speed at you with nobody on the Warriors as tall or as strong as he is on the court.
Right.
So that's just not a good recipe right there. So Steve's, you know, he got to get some stuff together still. Like, just stick to the normal size lineups as much as you can. Like, you're not going to have a true center in ever, right? Like, Trace is our closest thing to a true center, but even he's 6'9". Draymond's 6'5", 6'6", playing center. But, like, the two spot and the three spot, have at least one of those guys be 6'7", please. Like, there's no reason why Clay and Wiggins should be sitting. One of them should be in the game pretty much at all times, so you can have a 6'7", 6'8" wing on the court at all times. There's another DMP from Moses Moody, but he's another guy with some length, some size that can be playing on the wing instead of playing two small guys together. But I don't think that's going to change this season. So it's just really, it is what it is at this point with Steve.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate because Chris was in that lineup a bit too long and it was just like, get him out of there. Like, Pods can run this. Like, we don't need Chris. We need some length right now. And Chris is not providing that. And he's getting cooked and he's doing stupid fouls. So.
Exactly. He does. There's a few things CP3 does that kind of like really annoy me. One is the over dribbling at the end of the quarters. We already talked about that. When there's a last shot situation, he's taking the shot. It's not going to nobody else. He's taking it. Another thing that he does is like the take foul, not even take fouls. It's like the fouls at the rim that doesn't even prevent a shot attempt. Like, guys are still going up.
So it's like you already got beat.
Yeah.
And you're not even, it's not even like you're bear hugging. What did you think? You were not going to get caught. Exactly. We saw you.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a funny guy.
It's just let him do it.
Just let him go.
At this point.
Literally.
Ding dong.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. I mean, other than that, he was dishing the ball pretty well. He started hitting some shots like as the game went on. He started out cold, but he started hitting some shots as the game went on, and that helped keep the Lakers at bay for a little bit. They were trying to make a push. He actually was a team high plus 21 in his minutes. You know, he's
standing right plus there. Minus.
I know. I mean, he was giving the ball to guys that were hot.
Right.
He got hot. And I mean, that's his job, to get the ball to guys without turning it over too much, even though he had a few today still. But nine assists, 11 points, 6 rebounds. Pretty much a good, solid overall game, just with a few annoying instances in there, which is this Paul thing.
Yeah, but it was good to see later on in the game that he actually was being aggressive and he was faking them out and actually taking the layup, because plenty of times we'd be like, dude, it's right here for you to actually shoot. And he wouldn't do it. So it was good to see later in this game that he actually drove, made the layups. He faked them out a few times with that, faked me out, because I sure was like, oh, look at you. Looking like the Chris of old, you know? So that was good
on his part. Got a two layup game from Chris Paul. I wonder what's his high for the season in terms of rim attempts and makes in a game for the Warriors this season, but he got two in there, which was much needed. His little short mid range is in there. Once his legs kind of went and he overshot that three in the corner, it was like, yep, it's time, brother. But yeah, outside of Chris Paul, let's look at some of the other performances that we had tonight, starting with none other than Draymond Green, who hit his first five threes all in the first half. Everybody banked it until Draymond Green started hitting threes.
Right.
I mean, he was kind of all over the place in a good way this game.
Yes.
Right? Six rebounds. He did have a few turnovers early in the game where it was just like, who are you throwing that to, Draymond? But defensively, he was all over the place. Like we said, he hit five threes, which was his only points for the game, 15 points. But just vintage Draymond Green performance, which is good to see against the Lakers.
Yes. Yes, because we know how he likes to just, you know, lose his mind and forget who he actually plays for. So for him to come out this aggressive and be confident at the three-point line was fantastic. I was not expecting five of those, and to be on point with each of those was just mind-boggling. Yet we needed it, because we should have been up at least by 20 plus at the half. Mm-hmm. We weren't, just 11, but I mean, those five threes from Draymond really helped out a great deal. So it's like, if you're open, you got to be willing to take that shot. And he looked confident in it, and it looked good coming out his hands.
Yeah. I mean, this might be his best offensive season. I mean, definitely since 2016, but it may be, you know, in certain ways, he's kind of surpassed 2016 in terms of some of his offensive stuff.
Finishing at the rim and everything like that. Not so much today, but just throughout the season, him actually going for it and not being afraid to go for the layup.
Yeah, exactly. Just being a little bit more aggressive as a scorer definitely helps a ton. Making the shots definitely helps a ton. So, yeah, this is his second highest three-point percentage in his career, number one being 2016. And, yeah, he's just kind of doing it all, passing, scoring, and all that type of stuff. So it's really good to see that from him. Andrew Wiggins had another good game, 17 points. Again, he's hitting threes. He's taking them with confidence. And once he hits that two to three makes from three-point range kind of realm, that's when we know, like, okay, this is the Wiggins that we kind of need going forward, because you're a perimeter player. We need you to stick threes. Like, if you're going to play high minutes, we need you to make two or three threes a game. And he's doing that, like, now. Like, 17 points is just post-ups and threes for him and transition layups. What did you like from Wiggins today?
What I liked is that he was being aggressive. He was taking the mismatches and actually going for that. He did a sweet little spin move that, you know, normally we'd be like, Andrew, the ball is going to go out of bounds. But in this case, it went right in. I was like, whoa, let's take it easy, Andrew. You know, let's not get crazy. However, it was awesome. And the fact that he kept that up, because to start out, it was kind of just touch and go. It was like, what's happening here, Andrew? Your feet look like they're stuck in the mud, because, you know, what annoys me the most is if there is a loose ball that bounces right in front of you and you don't come up with it and you're right there and you made not one step towards it.
Right.
But he made up for that.
I know exactly what the player talking about too.
Yeah, throughout the game. And again, confident at the three-point line and driving to the hole.
Yep.
Like, and his defense. He kept up with his defense. So really, an all-around solid, solid game from Andrew Wiggins. So he's put it all together in his first game back after being out those two games for the ankle injury. Ankle injury where? Okay. So he was doing it.
Yeah. And he dunked on the fast break.
He did. Because I was like, if you lay this up, I don't know.
But like, this is just the baseline of what we need from Wiggins. Like I said, 17 points, grab a few boards, play defense, and that's all we need, right? Hit some threes, get some post-ups, and lay it in. Like, it's nothing ridiculous that requires all of this, like, talent and skill and stuff like that. He's being put in position, just execute it. And, like, just having the ability to depend on that and, like, rely on that every single game or most games just eases everybody else's responsibilities so much, right? Like, if you know you're getting a consistent 15 to 18 from this guy, he's going to hit a few threes and keep the defense honest. He's going to play top tier defense. He had three blocks tonight.
Yeah.
I only remember one on the corner on a jump shot, but he got two other ones that I didn't even notice. Like, he should be a two to three steals plus blocks type of guy every single game, whether it's steals, blocks, both, you know, that should be a requirement from him. given his physical talents and his defensive ability. So no complaints for what Wiggins did tonight. He's got to keep it up, especially going into the playoffs, play in, whatever, wherever they end up. You know, can't really ask for much more. Let's talk about the Splash Bros a little bit.
Yeah.
Combined for 50 points on 17 shots. Just ridiculously efficient. Steph did not miss a three. 6 for 6. Clay went 5 for 10.
I mean, Clay coming off a superb game the other day, and to just keep it flowing in this one, I mean, that's just awesome. That's awesome. Like, he's already just like you just feel. You can see that he's just oozing like huge confidence.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you ain't stopping me. Exactly. Hit me in my spot. It's going up and going in. So yeah, just awesome to see. And he was playing the defense. So for him to get that another like bounce back in LA, like getting rid of those negative games.
Yeah.
It was really good. But defensively, he was on it too.
Historically, he's played the Lakers pretty well over his career. Like, he had that 50-something point game back when KD was on the Warriors out there that sticks out in my mind. But yeah, it was good to see him like string these games together going into the postseason. Hopefully it carries him into the postseason so he can have a better postseason than he had last season, and just, you know, be the player that he is. The Draymond Green episode, or the Klay Thompson episode of the Draymond Green Show, just released, and he was having a conversation with Draymond, interview, and he's just talking about his perspective on basketball in general in this season, and how he had to, I guess, look himself in the mirror and just say, like, be appreciative of the fact that you're still playing. You only got a finite amount of time, you know, in this league playing basketball. Mm-hmm. So you might as well have fun with it, let the pressure go, lean into the young guys a little bit, and just play your game and have fun. And then ever since then, he said he's been like just playing much better, right? And we've seen it, right?
Exactly.
Whether he's off the bench or starting, just having that mindset of just like, let the pressure go, stop playing for X, Y, and Z, accolades, all-star, contract, whatever the case may be, just play. And this is what happens when you just let your talent take over.
Exactly. And you see him really leaning into the young guys, because that, what a pass to Pods in that transition. Like, normally, Clay is taking that shot himself.
Yeah.
He was on it. He hit Pods in the pocket, and Pods let it go, cash
it's
money.
So many, right. I mean, he passed the trace all the time, but it's so many plays where, like, he's coming off a handoff or he's coming off a pin down screen and he's going up and you're like, oh, Clay's shooting that. And he's like passing it midair. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, maybe he's not shooting that. Like, that's cool. I mean, and it's helping them because it keeps the offense flowing a little bit so they can potentially get a better shot. Like, you can always get that shot from Clay. Like, at any point, you don't need to run some intricate offense to get that shot. So you might as well work the ball around a little bit more while you still got time to see if you can get something better. And he's been doing that, and it's been helping the team a lot. So, yeah, shout out to him for doing that. Steph is Steph. It seems like the rest that he got helped him a little bit. I mean, 6 for 6 for 3. He just looked like he was in complete control the whole time, not really bothered.
Even while he was being held by Reeves and they never called it, and I was just like, now I know why is his arm each time as he's coming around, his arm is flying like that, because somebody's holding him, guys. I mean, but obviously. Whatever. Yes, but he did miss a free throw. And, you know,
I did
not like that, because that was for the 4-point play, which, again, they called it, which is amazing in itself. But him missing that, and it was just like, we missing free throws now? But that is overall for the team. If y'all don't start working on your free throws, Trace.
Bro.
Draymond missed both of his. I was just and then Kuminga, just – y'all got to get it together.
Get it together. These guys got touch too, so it's not like they can't hit the free throws. It's just, yeah, like, just time to make the free throws. But yeah, Splash Bros came through. They've been coming through.
Yeah,
and you know, it's at the right time. Let's look at the bench. We talked about Chris Paul already. Brandon Pajemski, you mentioned him, 3 for 3 from 3, 5 for 6 from the field, just much more aggressive going to the basket early in the game.
Yeah.
Which is good for him. He can't dance with the ball because it's like you don't have that type of burst. But when he catches it on the run, like he's already built up steam, he's running and he catches it and just goes. He catches some guys off guard when he does that, and he can finish a little bit around the basket. So I think he definitely should do that. And he wasn't doing a little like dribble in the paint looking around.
Exactly. He saw my tweets. I'm just saying, you know.
He's a Golden Spaces listener, obviously.
Clearly. Yeah, but his aggressiveness out the gate, he just started. He hit a step back over LeFleur, and it's just like, what? What? And listen, no fear at all, but it was great to see he's penetrating. He's kicking it back out. He's getting it moving. And, of course, he's in there to grab any rebounds, keeping, you know, even on the offensive side, keeping the balls alive, giving us multiple chances to get something going. So, again, and working hard on defense, which he does. Yep. So, yeah, but this was a really, I think, a really solid game from Pods, for sure. Yeah,
timely buckets overall, like you said, just in the mix all the time. The one player, well, let's get to Gary Payton before we get to
Right.
But, like, Gary Payton, vintage Gary Payton game. Just kind of in the mix the whole time. I need him to make a little bit more of his layups. He had a few where it's like, Gary, you were making that 2 years ago. But, I mean, it's just, it is what it is. But he came up huge. Defensively. And, I mean, the play of the night, obviously, is him meeting Rui Hachimura at the rim. Yeah. And just completely wiping the shot off the backboard, which is crazy. Transition 6'2 guy going up there with a 6'8 guy and just – completely meeting him at the rim was crazy, but that's what Gary does. That's why he's so special as a player. That's why you can't completely give up on him when he's not playing well or where he's fouling a little bit too much, because he can do stuff like that and nobody else on the team other than maybe Draymond does that type of stuff.
But let me just touch on that block and how the reaction, like as soon as he blocks it and the ball just drops and you see Draymond and Steph are just like, well, all right. Let me just dribble this up slow.
Yeah, it was
just one of those like moments of he just did that.
Yeah.
He just did that. And that was
so I think everybody was expecting a foul. And then they were like, whoa, actually, he just blocked that.
Right. And the ball just like bounced. And they were just like, and now we can continue.
Yeah, that was amazing.
But Gary making his threes, his open threes, one of them, he had like 5 minutes to decide if he was going to shoot it. I know he was waiting for Curry to break open, but they had him covered. So he was like, well, I guess I got to shoot it. And he missed it. But he was making those open ones. And it was just like, yes, Gary, yes, that's what we need. Yeah, early on, he was just doing some foolishness. And I was like, Gary, if you don't get it together, if you don't get it together, we're going to have a problem here. So, but again, redemption.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. And he came through late. So, but
shout out to Ruby too.
Gary doing Gary.
Gary Dwayne. Okay. So, Mr. Kuminga, he had a 21-10 game last game off the bench. Good performance. This game, not so much. Wasn't his best performance. He ended up being a plus 10 still, but plus minus doesn't tell the full story. I think just in general, his timing was a little bit off. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of, I guess, we can see, one, the youth. Two, he took some time off and now you're playing against LeBron James and he's like kind of picking you apart a little bit mentally and it's going to show up there. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, he had a few, just, I mean, let's talk about his defense. What do you think about his defense right now? As a player?
I will say that, he actually looked like he was really prepared to play some defense. He was taking on LeBron. Like he was doing the things. I'm not happy with him fouling D'Lo shooting that three at the end of the court. Like that was just like dumb. Like, Kaminga, what are we doing?
Right.
Give him the space, put your arms up and let it fly. He wasn't even going to make it.
You're right.
But now you send him to the line after we just did some great work to end the half on a nice little run. And then this happened. So, but overall on defense, it was just like, okay, at least I feel like you're committed for most of it, but I still need you to turn it up a little bit more. But it did look like he was trying for the most part. So
yeah,
there's that.
Yeah. I don't think it's a lack of effort per se. I think it's a lack of mental effort sometimes. Like understanding I need to make this play early, understanding I need to have my hands up and not behind my back when I'm playing defense. Those type of things, like how to position his body when a guy's coming at him with full speed. Like, I think he was in position to guard LeBron on a fast break or semi-transition type of play. LeBron caught it and did like a little jab or something like that, and Kaminga was completely out of the play from there. It was like his feet were in quicksand. It's like, bro, you're too good of an athlete for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, that's more like not being mentally prepared to react to whatever LeBron is going to do. And it's obviously LeBron, like he's a great player. So you just got to be prepared for anything that he does, right?
Yeah. I mean, look at Curry taking LeBron. He's making him work. Okay.
You have 20 plus
in this game
of footage of LeBron James. Right. So it's not a matter of knowing what he's going to do. It's a matter of being prepared for what you know he's going to do. Because you know what he's going to do.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's straight line drive to the basket to his right hand to finish. So he just got to be better on defense. Like, it was a few times he just got caught sleeping on the back end, guys getting an open shot or a bad closeout or something like that. Like, those are the things that used to drive Steve crazy. I'm sure that would sit him, but now it's like, we need him to play. We need his offense. We need his athleticism. So we can't afford to sit him just because he's having a few bad defensive possessions, but that could be the difference between winning and losing a game. So.
And it was getting close. And we saw him like, okay, we're going to give you a little break here.
Yeah,
exactly. Give me a little break. Let me talk to you for a little bit.
But he did have a few moments, right? Like,
yeah,
it was a stretch there. He got D'Lo on an island. He didn't foul him on a grifty attempt. They got a rebound. He came down and hit a three. That was cool. LeBron was in transition. It looked like he was about to get another layup. And then Kaminga just ran him down, sprinted, ran him down and made him pass it. And then the guy he passed to ended up missing the shots. Like, those are the things you got to do, you know, consistently. You should be doing them consistently. Like, what Wiggins does on the ball, it's like no reason why you can't do a lot of the same stuff. And it's crazy because his rookie season and his sophomore season, he was much better defensively. He was one of the better one-on-one defenders statistically in the league last season. So to go from that to, you know, the things that he's doing now is just kind of like disappointing. It's understandable to a certain extent when your offensive load increases. It's like a natural thing for a lot of guys to kind of get a little bit lax on defense. But it's like the best of the best players don't do that. You know, they get better on defense and offense as they get older. So I think that's just what we got to watch for with JK. Like, are you going to take the challenge defensively more often to match that offense, right? Because there's going to be nights where we don't need you to score, bro. Like tonight, they put up 134. He had, 8 points?
Yeah, I was like, he wasn't even doing it on that end. It was,
yeah.
It was, you know, going in ill-advised. Like, homie, that's not it. That's not it. And he had opportunities to hit his mid-range, which he's pretty good at. And he didn't do it. It's just like, come on.
Yeah,
I think you're not going to always, you know, drive in there like that. You have other options.
Exactly, especially when it's like a guy like Jackson Hayes guarding you, right? Like, the chances of
you getting hops for days.
He's bigger and taller than you, and he has hops too. So you're not just going to like put him into the basket or like unless you bring him out to you and you go by him, but he's just waiting for you at the rim. So you might as well take a little stop and pop mid-range because it is a very good shot for him. Like, you don't got to settle for threes. Teams are going to back up because they are afraid of getting beat to the basket by you. So it's not like you're going to have to, like, take a contested mid-range.
Right.
It's going to be open. Like, so just get there and take that midi. I think it's just going to take maybe another game or two for him to really get back into full rhythm mentally, just making sure he's making the plays when they should be made and making the right decisions. But, yeah, he got to be, you know, a little bit more aware. And that's pretty much the name of the game for him, awareness. Mr. Moses Moody did not play.
No, but let's touch on your guy Trace in this game.
Trace also did not have the best game.
He did not.
But I mean, it was an okay game. It was an okay game.
But I felt like this was really good practice for him, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's some big guys out there, and it was like early on, Trace, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you biting on this? Why are you jumping? Not necessary. Yeah.
That's the big thing with Trace in this particular matchup. I don't think it's the size of their bigs or anything like that. I think it's LeBron is just like very, very smart basketball player. So like he knows when Trace is going to overhelp.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his drop step. He sees Trace. He pump fake. Trace jump in the air. Little shuffle pass to Hayes. It's a dunk.
Yeah. Right,
or like he gets Trace on a switch, and you Trace he's, when he's on LeBron, you can kind of see like Trace is a little nervous.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not really like, I really shouldn't be out here, guys. Like, yeah. Help anyone?
You don't want to guard LeBron.
Anyone? Yeah. Bueller,
LeBron just kind of blows by him a little bit because you can see Trace is a little bit like jump happy when he's guarding LeBron.
Right.
But yeah, I think I mean you see him four times out of the year, so. You would just hope that he can kind of get more and more settled the more times he sees this team and, you know, learn from Draymond and goes into the film sessions and stuff like that and sees where he can, you know, make improvements on what he was doing out there. But other than that, I mean, I think he was pretty solid. He did miss that bunny at the rim, which should have been
because exactly.
And that kind of was like, that was the one you should have made right there, brother.
It was one of those like, In that moment of we need this one right here, we need this one,
yep.
And you going in thinking you can do layups now, fancy. No, you have to dunk that. Like, that was a clear dunk, no two ways about it. And you in here trying to get fancy because you out here,
right,
by yourself. No,
yeah, he had a much better
easier shot.
He had a much better first half than second half, I think, for sure. He did end up with three blocks. I think he blocked Rui like two or three times in the same possession.
He did. He did.
Rui was just getting blocked a lot this game. But yeah, 7 points and 7 rebounds in 25 minutes. Not his best performance. There's definitely some areas for improvement. But, you know, just decent, solid minutes. And it keeps Draymond fresh. So Draymond can meet Rui at the rim at the end of the game like he did.
Exactly.
I think Rui might have got blocked like five times. But yeah.
It was awesome.
So, you know, the Warriors have been doing it with their defense for the last, you know, few weeks or so.
Yeah.
Tonight wasn't the strongest defensive performance. They gave up 120 to the Lakers on the road. But, I mean, their offense came through. 134.
Yeah. Which that's where it was like, we were giving up so much, but then we couldn't really do anything offensively at a certain point in the game. But this time, steady on that offensive end. And I think we picked it up in spots late on defense. Like we picked it up to where it was just like, nope, we're all going to lock in here. And that's exactly what we did.
Exactly. That's all you kind of need.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other, either you lock down completely for the whole game and you find a pocket in the game where you can get your offense going, or the other way around. You know, your offense is humming the whole game. You may not be having the best defensive performance, but when it's time to lock down and put the game away, you get a few stops in a row and you score and just put the game away. And I think that's what they did tonight. Yeah.
Wait, real quick. Did you, and I like in that huddle, that timeout that they had, and you heard Kerr say, we bury them now. Like, bury them. I was like, ooh-wee, Kerr is already. They didn't, but it was like, that's what you were supposed to be doing because we were building at that point, and it's just like, bury them right now.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, he's already in the mode of we're not fooling around here, guys. Like, everybody get your head out your ass and get it going. Mm-hmm. So, but I just like that snippet. And I was just like, yeah, I like that curve. Yeah. Yeah. I was like,
okay. Got a little fire in him. okay, let's do a little bit of standings watch because this was a good night for the Warriors tonight in terms of other teams and, you know, the whole play-in scenario and stuff like that. The Warriors playoff scenario, the Warriors beat the Lakers. They've clinched the tiebreaker. We forgot to mention that. So they've beaten the Lakers.
Well, we own the tiebreaker, not we clinched the tiebreaker. We own the tiebreaker.
Exactly. So they can tie the Lakers at the end of the season in the same amount of wins, and they will be ahead of them, right? So went out, like we said, went out, and you're probably not going to be 10th. You're going to probably be 9th. They beat the Trailblazers, the Pelicans, and the Jazz this week. They will finish ahead of the Lakers, most likely. If the Kings lose twice, or if the Pelicans lose out, they will leap all of them. So that would be – or if the Suns lose three more.
Yeah.
Then you can leap them as well. The Suns got absolutely blasted by the Clippers early tonight, and then they kind of came back a little bit, but they were getting destroyed at first. So it's still possible. Like we said last pod, it's still possible for the Warriors to climb up way out of the 10th, maybe 7th, 8th, you know, but it's going to take a lot of luck because the Pelicans are playing well right now. They were kind of skidding, but now they've seemed to bounce back from that. But they play the Kings, they play us, and they play the Lakers. So these are all three other teams that are fighting for spots. So the Pelicans could definitely lose all three of those games. So you never know. You never know. But, so just looking at the standings, the Warriors are now a half a game behind the Lakers for 9th. Again, they own the tiebreaker. They have the same amount of losses. So if they win out, they will pass the Lakers. I'm pretty certain about that. The Kings have one less loss. The Suns have 2 less losses. The Pelicans have 3 less losses. So again, the Pelicans will have to lose all of their remaining games. The Suns about the same because Suns own the tiebreaker over the Warriors.
Yeah.
The Kings would have to lose 2 more games. Mm-hmm. And I think the Lakers, as long as the Warriors win all the rest of their games, will still finish behind the Warriors. So we're going to be watching those scores.
Saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. There is a chance. And they play the Pelicans, so they can add another loss to the Pelicans.
Right.
For the rest of the season. So we just got to keep watching the standings, keeping our fingers crossed. I think just right now the hope is to just get out of the 9-10. So you have 2 shots.
Right.
Whether it's 8th or 7th, whatever. Just make sure you have 2 shots to get into the playoffs. And, you know, see what happens from there. We don't
That's
know
all who we the can one do.
Seed, it's all we can do. We don't know who the one seed is going to be. Minnesota is currently first because I think they own the tiebreaker over the Nuggets, but they have the same record. OKC is only a game behind. So we really don't know how that's going to shake out. So, take it a game at a time. It's going to come down to the very last day, I'm pretty sure.
Once again, I feel like didn't this happen last season? It was just like down to the wire of where everyone's going to finish and things like that. So this, again, we still have a chance. So we focus on us. We focus on the game in front of us. We win it and we're on to the next one. Like that is our mission to win out so we can move up some.
I'm up. Yep. We have anything else?
No. Who we got coming up next? Who do we play next?
I believe they play the Trailblazers next.
Oh, it's the Blazers next.
Yeah, so let's get another feel-good win, blowout. Yeah, I think that would be great. If they can, I was going to say, if they can afford to rest some guys, that would be cool too. But you never know.
Right, because are we thinking that so this is on the road. So we've got to play the Blazers on the road. Okay.
Yeah, they're playing in Portland. Portland's terrible. So maybe they try to sneak a rest in. Or maybe you just beat them, try your best to beat the Pelicans. But the Pelicans is also, it's a back-to-back. So it's Portland and then New Orleans back-to-back. So maybe you rest guys against Portland and just trust that you still got enough to beat them. Or you just say, we're going for that back-to-back. And then depending on how the rest of the conference looks, when we have the Jazz in our last game, we can rest guys against them. Because if we're already locked into our spot, regardless of the result of the Jazz game, then you might as well just rest your guys, get them ready for that play-in game, whichever one is going to be.
Right. Well, hopefully we come out and really put a hurting on the Blazers early. And then, everyone's at 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? That's the goal, because to then travel and it's a back-to-back, it's a lot of stuff happening. And the Pelicans seem to be kind of because they've got their own situation of, hey, we're still trying to battle here as well. So it's not going to be one of those, hey, the Pelicans are chilling. No. They're waiting for us. They are.
Right. So take care of business. Take care of business. I'm trying to see when the Pelicans' next game is. Okay, so the Pelicans also have a back-to-back.
Oh, yeah. So they're traveling too.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they're going from the Kings to the Warriors, so it's a much shorter trip from Portland back to...
I thought we were playing them on the road, but we're not. We're playing them at home.
Yeah, it's
at home. Okay. All right, so they ain't really got no travel. They're going to be on a bus.
Yeah, they're going to be on a bus.
Okay. Right. All right, so it's us. Okay, I thought we were going to New Orleans. Okay, now I'm feeling a little bit better about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they also have a back-to-back. That's going to be pretty much even. So take care of business. Win out. See where you fall. You're going to probably be at least ninth. I'm thinking they might get eighth. I'm thinking lucky number eight.
I'm thinking two.
But yeah. I think that's all we got for you guys tonight. Keep your fingers crossed on these games. Hate watch these other teams into losing. That would be great for us. Continue to support the pod, right? Follow us on all our socials at Golden Spaces Pod. Watch us on YouTube under 95.7 The Game's YouTube channel. Listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Odyssey app, all of that stuff. Because we are an Odyssey original podcast. And we appreciate the love. We have gratitude to you guys, and we will see you next time.
Adios.